Hello, I'm Sarah Intonato, and I'm currently in the middle of an inspiration-filled week of practice with my guru, R. Sharat Joyce, who's holding classes in New York City. Today's blog discusses why you need a guru and how it allows you to go much deeper on your spiritual journey than you ever would go on your own. The word guru literally translates from Sanskrit as the one who leads you from darkness to light. It's so simple, yet it reminds us there will be moments in our lives which will be too dark for us to find our own way out. And a guru shows us the way to a better place, both on and off the mat, so we don't have to take the journey alone. Being a senior teacher or a guru is very much like being a parent. It is the leader's job to guide his or her students each step of the way on their spiritual path. It is not his or her job to be liked, nor is it his or her job to give students what they want. It is the guru's job to give you what you need. This is sometimes very different from what you want, and this is why a true guru won't be concerned with winning a popularity contest. A guru has the regular task of taking a student out of his or her comfort zone. The guru must give the student new poses or assignments at which he or she knows the students will fail, at least during the first attempt or a few attempts. And the guru's job is to watch the myriad of reactions from the student as he or she slowly chips away a path to growth and success. Without a doubt, the guru's job is a challenging one, and it's only suitable for those who have walked the path for the long haul themselves and who possess enough mental strength to stay the course for a lifetime. Much like a good parent wouldn't allow their child to eat candy for breakfast, a guru doesn't allow you to fall prey to your own excuses or attempt the parts of practice which you like and ignore the practices that you don't like. Remember, your guru's job is not to be your friend. It is to stimulate your personal growth on every level. And most of this growth will happen far beyond your comfort zone. This morning, I attended the third consecutive day of Lead Intermediate Series class with Sharat, my guru, which is arguably the most challenging guided yoga class in the world. It's intense physically, it's intense emotionally, spiritually, all of it. And despite having participated in this class for many years now, I still feel a touch of stage fright and butterflies in my stomach every single time I do it. And each of the last three mornings I woke up with my mind scrolling through quote-unquote valid reasons I could have used to skip class. For example, I'm really stiff today and I won't do a good job during practice. Or my family needs me at home, I really shouldn't go, etc. However, I got dressed, showered, and made my way to the Chinatown YMCA for class because I knew my guru was expecting me. If I'd been left to my own devices, maybe I wouldn't have gone. But after 8 trips of study with Sharat in Mysore, I have seen him believe in me even when I had no belief in myself. My relationship with him is strong, and just the sheer fact of knowing he would be there inspired me to get up, ignore my excuses, and go. My role as a student urged me to simply show up and see what was possible. Based on years of conditioning, I also knew I would feel stronger on the other side. And I did. It's worth noting that we all succumb to moments of weakness. These moments usually occur when left to our own devices, when we don't have a guru, when we're far away from our guru, and as the continuing pressures of everyday life provoke our mind to stir up resistance. Being in the presence of your guru reminds you what you are truly made of, and it helps you to ignore the chatter. It strengthens your self-discipline so that you can let go of your mind's excuses and the litany of things it stirs up to keep you playing small. Because the path of yoga is a lifelong one, we must reconnect to this inner strength as often as possible to provide us with faith along the way. As I've mentioned above, a guru is not there to be your friend. He or she is not there to win a popularity contest. However, your guru can be welcoming and friendly, just like your minister or your rabbi would be. But the guru shishya, which is a Sanskrit word for student or devotee, the guru shishya relationship holds a certain level of formality. A true guru is one who is part of a lineage, parampara in Sanskrit, and this means he or she has learned from his or her own guru for many years, who in turn studied with his own guru, etc. This lineage is how the yogic path, which was originally an oral tradition, was handed down for many years. Sharat's guru was his grandfather, Sri K. Patabi Joyce, affectionately known as Guruji to the Ashtanga yoga community. Guruji's guru was T. Krishnamacharya, the father of modern yoga as we know it today. Krishnamacharya's guru was Rama Mohan Brahmachari, who he studied with in the mountains in India, etc. Ideally, yoga still passes from generation to generation this way. This direct line of unbroken knowledge allows the student to study from those who have walked in his shoes and have felt exactly what he is experiencing. This connection allows a deep level of trust to develop between the student and teacher, which is a crucial point. You can never discover the deeper layers of yourself if you do not trust the person who is guiding you to show you the way safely. Very recently, I led a yoga retreat to Peru's Sacred Valley. And when we were in the city of Cusco, our guide delivered us to the mouth of a cave at the temple of Sacsayhuaman, which was at 12,000 feet above sea level. This cave was so small, we would have to crouch down to walk through the passage to the other side so as not to bump our heads on the stone above. Did I mention the cave was so tiny that we had to walk single file down this winding path? In pitch darkness, of course. Taking a few steps into the cave triggered claustrophobia in several of us, myself included, so we bowed out of this challenge. Even as we watched the others emerge from the other side of the cave unscathed, we had zero inspiration to try it ourselves. Only when my husband, Ben, volunteered to walk the cavernous dark path again, holding our hands, and talking us through the eerie blackness until we saw light on the other side, did we agree to go for it. As we emerged victoriously after our adventure, the exhilaration we all felt was palpable. We had conquered a huge fear and discovered strength we never knew we had. And I cannot emphasize enough, this would never have happened had we not had a trustworthy leader whom had walked in our shoes and survived to show us the way. Notice that I did not take that dark walk through the cave alone. Being surrounded by like-minded individuals whom are on the same spiritual journey creates a powerful energy. The yogic path can feel solitary at times, since we are on our mats alone, doing our own spiritual work within ourselves. Feeling the energetic support of others, whether in a cave or in the yoga room, provides us with inspiration and devotion to stay the course. This is crucial because yoga is not a path to instant gratification. We need as much support as possible to practice for a lifetime without break. The connection from those walking alongside us while being led by a guru is both potent and powerful. Never underestimate the power of a sangha, Sanskrit for community. Unfortunately, the sad fact is that the typical yoga studio environment in the West isn't so conducive to the guru-student relationship or to a great community. Most studios offer multiple disciplines of yoga, so there is little or no reverence for any guru in particular. Furthermore, students pop into classes of various styles of yoga with various teachers each day, with the element of commitment rarely discussed. And while the intentions are usually good, the aspect of trusting and connecting with one guru or teacher is overlooked. This means it's up to you to approach your own yogic journey with accountability. Take ownership of your practice, knowing you want to commit for the long haul with a teacher you trust. If you don't have a guru or one teacher you look up to with reverence and respect, don't despair. Here's how you can find one. Tip 1. Pay less attention to the style of yoga you're practicing and more attention to how you feel after you finish. Is your mind quieter? How are your reactions the rest of the day? When you see improvements, you know you're on the right track. Tip 2. If you're not sure what type of class to attend, seek out a method which still has institutes in India, such as KPJ AYI, which is the Ashtanga Yoga Institute. Since India is the birthplace of yoga, this means that there's an active lineage still in place. Tip 3. When you do find a teacher who challenges you and delivers you a practice which forces you out of your comfort zone, you're on the right track. Yoga is a gateway to clarity of mind, not a fun-filled playtime. Tip 4. Your teacher should have a teacher. Ask them who it is. A true lineage is traceable. Tip 5. Be wary of those who create their own kind of yoga for two reasons. First, yoga is not a fad. It is still around because it works after thousands of years. Thus, it doesn't need changing to make it cool or effective. Second, if you invent your own kind of yoga, it means you don't have a guru. You're the top of the heap. If nobody's holding you accountable, it can be a slippery slope, especially as confidence and power build. Bikram yoga and Anusara yoga are just two examples of self-made gurus who fell from grace after being investigated for legal issues. And while we all make mistakes, a teacher whom is used to their guru observing them will likely make smarter decisions. And tip 6, you might not have an instant connection with your guru, and that's okay. It is perfectly fine if it grows over time. Because we know the yogic path is a lifelong one, it's important to note that when you do connect with a method and a guru, the relationship will likely last many years. Sharat Joyce spent over 20 years studying with his grandfather until Guruji passed in 2009. Guruji himself studied with Krishnamacharya for over 25 years before the latter moved to a different city. While there is no right amount of time to spend with your guru, approach the relationship with love, awareness, and the intention to learn with your guru until you have extracted all you can from the relationship. If you ever need to part ways with your guru, do so with love and respect for all you have learned. Have gratitude for the relationship and all its teachings. As Sharat once told me, a real guru shows you the obstacles within you. He or she doesn't let you off the hook or do the work for you. A real guru inspires you to want to do the work yourself and shows you the way. In a world filled with so much chatter and stimulation, a true guru-student relationship is priceless. We all need a devoted guide to illuminate the path before us. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful day. Namaste.